I'm going to press on in our lessons on prayer today, and I'm going to slowly go through some of the additional things that I have, some of which we have discussed over the last couple of weeks. It seems very appropriate that the theme of prayer is where we close the year out, which is wonderful. Amen. The Bible says, my house will be called the house of prayer. So the more we learn to pray, and I do hope that we are putting to use a lot of the things that we are learning, it is impossible that you listen to all of these teachings and hear all of these messages and nothing in your prayer life changes. It is just impossible. Nothing in your approach to prayer changes. I'm expecting that the level of that river is rising. Amen. And no more should we have situations where people say, you know, I'm excited about the kingdom of God. I'm excited about everything that goes on in the kingdom of God. But, you know, that prayer ministry is not one that I'm very, very good in. You know, I've heard people say that over the years. You know, people say, you know, I love everything else, but you know, that prayer part is not really my area. Well, prayer has to be our area. Amen. For all of us. Amen. I know we call some people prayer warriors and we call some people intercessors and we say some people are very anointed to pray. That's true. The more you obviously yield to the Holy Spirit in this area, the more grace is made available to you. But if you look at it, there is no gift of prayer. If you look at all those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, you know, there's gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of faith, but there's no gift of prayer. Like some people were endowed with the gift to pray and others were not. And when the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, he says, come and pray with me. Couldn't you wait 1 hour? Notice he didn't say to some of them, you are gifted to pray. The others are not. So you stay with me and pray with me and let the others sleep on. No, he says, all of you pray. There is no excuse for a believer not to pray. And for ministers and preachers, we should be praying more than we are preaching. We should be praying more than we are teaching the word. Amen. Amen. There is no powerful ministry, whatever it is you've been called to do, without a powerful prayer life. It's just impossible. I didn't say you can be charismatic, you can be dynamic, charismatic, and you can be very you can be very savvy with the gift of speaking, but the power in every ministry lies in our commitment and devotion to prayer. No matter what it is you are called to do, prayer is the bottom line of every other ministry in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Prayer is the open door to the supernatural. If you want to walk closely with the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience the power of God in your life, prayer is the open door to the supernatural. There is no supernatural life without devotion to prayer. There are no breakthroughs. There's no miraculous lifestyle without a devotion to the ministry of prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and from verse 8, Paul said, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life." But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and he does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This man is really big time talking about deliverance in this letter here. Big time talking about deliverance. Big time. God will deliver us. God delivered us. God delivers us. But then he says in verse 11, you also helping together by prayer for us. In the Amplified, it says, while you also cooperate by your prayers for us. Meaning, even though God guarantees our deliverance in life, it is the prayers of the saints that open the doors. Even though God guarantees our deliverance, our rescue, our help, our breakthrough, it is the prayers of the saints that opens the door. Last week, I took some time to talk about preemptive praying versus reactionary praying. Preemptive praying is the same thing as earnest praying. Amen. It means praying continuously. It means learning to pray continuously. Not praying just because there is something going on and we need breakthrough. But learning to pray continuously. Obviously, Paul, one of the apostles, was someone who believed very powerfully and very strongly in the ministry of prayer. You can see it from a lot of his writings, and you can see it from a lot of his approach to life. He believed very strongly in the ministry of prayer. You've just heard what he said here. You'd see, if you go on to Ephesians chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 8 was the root scripture we started our Wednesday studies with. In Ephesians chapter 8, chapter 6, it talks about praying. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it talks about praying continuously. Praying continuously. One of the areas of our Christian walk that can seem quite boring and quite daunting is the area of praying. But, you know, it's like a child, like children, if you are raising children, you know, there are some things children are excited about. There are some things they are not excited about. Children would sit before that TV screen and watch it all day long. I don't know what the shows for children are now, but whatever those popular shows are, they'll use the iPad, they'll use their phone, they'll use their, you know. But there are some things that you might expose your children to that they are not necessarily very excited about, you know. For instance, you may say to your child, go and take a nap. Nap, they don't want to hear about taking a nap. They just want to stay awake all day and all night if possible. You might say to your child, you know, we're eating this broccoli. Broccoli? No. I don't want broccoli, Mom. And yet you know that's what they need to do well, to grow well. Prayer is one of those kind of things that sometimes does not appear exciting, but that we need to make ourselves get excited about, because we know the value of what he adds to our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he says, praying always. This is Paul still writing here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Some translations, or the original, like we learned from Kenneth Hagin on Wednesday, he said the original Greek means praying by being led by the Holy Spirit. I really like that part. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If you also joined the service on Wednesday, you heard him say, even though a lot of times we constantly talk about intercessory prayer, intercessory prayer is the prayer we pray for people that are outside of the fold. Believers actually are more involved in supplication, because supplication is praying for yourself and praying for the needs of other people. And you see, repeat supplication here, it shows up twice. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I know in the Amplified Bible, it interprets one of the aspects of supplication. It interprets it as interceding. But it's very important to keep in mind, when you intercede for people, you are acting as a go-between. The Lord Jesus is our go-between between us and the Father. So Jesus, he mediates and he meditates on our behalf. But when we pray, we supplicate, we stand between, we stand in the gap for other believers. But that's not because we are seeking to bridge the gap. That's because we are bringing the things that concern them before the Lord, and with intense passion, we are praying over those things. That's what it means to supplicate. With intense passion, you are pouring out from within you deep thoughts and desires for other people and for yourself. That's what it means to supplicate. Amen. And when he says, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and that means being led by the Holy Spirit, I really like that, because, you know, prayer that is effective is prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit. You can't pray effectively without having your all of your members involved in that prayer. If you are in a hurry to go somewhere, and if you need to do something, and you have a time that you are working with, then it's okay to pray, you know, pray like little things you need to pray in that little time. But devote time afterwards, when you are not under pressure of time, to really pray. Because the prayers that the Holy Spirit guides are prayers that require that we actually release ourselves completely to Him. It means you are not under pressure. You are not looking at your time, because I've got to go to. No, you yield completely, and then you engage in prayer. You engage in prayer. And as you pray, the Holy Spirit will start bringing things to your mind. He'll start bringing thoughts, actually into your spirit, but he will bring it all the way up to your mind, so that in your spirit, you know, oh, I'm supposed to add this to that prayer. I'm supposed to add that to that prayer. And if you are praying for someone, you may not really know exactly what you need to pray, but because you are resting and you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, He, knowing what's going on with that person, can bring things up in your spirit, can give you scriptures. We actually saw that last week. You remember when those disciples were threatened and they went to their to the rest of the church, and they all lifted up their voices in Acts chapter 4, and they started to pray. And as they were praying, the Holy Spirit brought up the second psalm, and they used that to pray. Praying, being led by the Holy Spirit, is prayer that is totally dependent on Him, where we allow Him to guide how we pray. We yield totally to Him, allow Him to direct us, allow Him to guide us. Obviously, when we start out, we may start out with a guide, with a like a little outline of some prayers we want to use, or some scriptures we want to pray with. But as you continue praying, and as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, you see He begins to lead you in certain directions in your prayer. And you may not understand why. You may not know why. But He begins to steer you in certain specific directions. This is what it means to pray being led by the Holy Spirit. A lot of believers don't know that, unfortunately. A lot of believers don't know the power and the importance of that. And sometimes, even as ministers, we can get so committed to our little agendas, you know, things that we have already planned, that we are so stuck with those things that we have planned to pray, and we're not really listening to the Holy Spirit. And so there are points in our praying where the Holy Spirit wants to direct, or he wants to change something, or he wants to add something to what we're praying. But if we're not listening, then we don't really get it. And sometimes we do pray, but our prayers end up being so mechanical. Yeah, you can end up praying, you've prayed for 1 hour, but really through that 1 hour, the Holy Spirit really wasn't able to interject things that he wanted to interject. You may feel good because you prayed for an hour, but you weren't really led by the Holy Spirit in that prayer. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I just think it's important that as we talk about some of these generalities, we also look at some of the specifics that makes prayer effectual in the lives of believers. Don't just assume you understand how praying ought to be done. It's one of the reasons I wanted us to listen to Kenneth E. Hagin last Wednesday, because I really loved the way he described praying by being led by the Holy Spirit. Because he talked about they needed to pray for this sick woman whose husband was a government official in the nation of Egypt, and they called their offices in Tulsa and says, can we bring this woman? Can we bring this woman? He says, yeah, bring this woman. But when as they get in the process of bringing this woman, he goes before the Lord to say, Lord, how do you want us to pray for this woman? How do you want us to pray for this woman? And when he waited on the Lord brought scriptures, appropriate scriptures that they needed to pray with. One of the missing links in prayer that I have observed, not only with believers, but also with a lot of ministers in our days, is many people don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit in prayer. They don't know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. For many people, prayer is more mechanical than a flow. But remember, if it's a river, it's got to be a flow. It can't, no, rivers flow. Amen. And prayer is one of those rivers of the Holy Spirit. So it must flow. The Holy Spirit must be given access to use it the way he wants to. So we must give him every bit, every part of us. In the Amplified, I like the way it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, it says, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Keeping alert means you are fully engaged in that praying. You are fully engaged in that praying. And you are observing. As you are praying, you are observing. You may pray something on Monday about a situation. By Wednesday, there may have been some developments that you did not know about on Monday. But now you've seen those developments. You go back to pray over the same situation. You should not be praying exactly what you prayed on Monday. Because now there have been some developments to that situation. So you should engage now using the new information you have, allowing the Holy Spirit to take that information and stir your praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you may start out your praying and say, Lord, you know, something so blank and so generic. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. By the time Wednesday shows up, you may find out that there are two options that have shown up. So now you can't just keep saying, Lord, let your will be done. You may have to look closely at the two options and pray using the two options, but engaging the word of God concerning The two options. So I'm being, prayer involves us. Prayer involves us. We can't always do this. We can't always pray as strongly as we like to, but that's fine. So pray as you get the opportunity to pray. Maybe you are not able to, you know, give it all of that time, but then make time later on. Make time later. Don't just, oh yeah, I prayed 15 minutes today. I'm good. Praise God. But maybe in that 15 minutes, you had to rush, you had to leave, you had to go do something. But there were some things the Holy Spirit started to put in your heart during those 15 minutes. Then find some time later when you can create a little bit more time, no pressure, and you can pray some more. Alert. Being alert, he says. Keep alert, watch with strong purpose and perseverance. And then in verse 19, he says, and pray also for me. Paul was someone who depended so strongly on prayer, the prayers of the saints. We already read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 8 and to 11. It says, and your partnership, your cooperation with us in prayer made God's deliverance possible. Here in this scripture, after telling them to pray always with all supplication and prayer, then he says in verse 9, and pray also for me. Don't forget to pray for me. When you have done all your praying, when you've done, please don't forget to pray for me. And I've said this before, the greatest gift you can give to any minister is the gift of prayer. Amen. Amen. Don't just talk about ministers. Don't just, you know, talk about, you know, with their sermons and their things and the things they say and the things they do. Pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. One of the ways you partner with God is you pray for God's people and pray for God's ministers. He said, pray for me. Pray also for me. And I tell them specifically what to pray for him. He needed this at this time. Pray that freedom of utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news. Maybe at this time, there were things happening around him that were seeking to intimidate him. Maybe there were things that were happening around him that were seeking to silence his voice. He said, pray for me that I may have utterance, freedom of utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly, to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news. Hold that place there. I did promise the Lord just because I had, you know, so many different directions I could go in and so many different things that are calling for my expression and my focus here. I did promise the Lord I was just going to, you know, go step by step as he directs. So as I'm preaching, I'm getting direction. I'm just listening and getting direction. I'm not following the order that I put it down in my notes. Pray for me that I may be able to proclaim it boldly, proclaim boldly the mystery. So hold that place there and come to Acts chapter 4. Come to Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 23. After they have threatened them, the authorities threatened the disciples, the apostles, and said, you should not preach anymore in this name. Don't preach anymore in this name. And in verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. Verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. I spoke a lot about one accord praying last week. And they said, Lord, you are God who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of this speaks right out of Psalms 2 verse 1 to 5. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For if it of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. What did Paul say that the church should pray for him for in Ephesians 6:18? Boldness. That I might open my mouth boldly to declare the mystery of the gospel. He said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child. Watch this, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When they had prayed, what was it that opened the door to the Holy Spirit to come on them and fill them with boldness? It was prayer. But when they had prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The place was shaking. That's just talking about the power of God that they experienced. And boldness came upon them. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that anything that they owned was theirs. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace. Great grace was upon them. But where did all this come from? Power, boldness, great grace, oneness, unity, one heart, one soul. Where did it come from? Prayer. Prayer is the open door to the supernatural. Paul said, pray for me, that freedom of utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to do. Pray that I may speak it boldly as I ought to. Notice in these two verses of scripture, boldness shows up twice. Boldness shows up twice. I don't know how you read the scriptures, but when I read the scriptures and I see things like that, I pause. And I ask, I wonder why. It's like when you read in Ephesians 6:18 and you see him talking about supplication twice in that one verse of scripture, you pause and say, I wonder why. This makes the word of God a living experience in your life. You are not just relating with the word mechanically. Just read it through and you know, get through the end of the chapter and close it. No, as you read sometimes, you know, there are things that jump out at you. You should pause and investigate. Because that may be something the Holy Spirit uses at some point later on in your praying. Amen. Boldness. Boldness. Paul didn't stop talking about prayer in Ephesians 6. In Philippians 4, many of us know this scripture. Ephesians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Just look at that. Just look at what he's saying here. I think the Amplified Bible says, don't fret. I think that's what it says. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer, by petition, definite request, with thanksgiving. Don't leave out thanksgiving. Every time you pray, don't leave out thanksgiving. Definite prayers and petitions continue to make your wants known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. So instead of fretting over situations, instead of allowing yourself to be troubled, instead of allowing yourself to be bothered, which all of us naturally are inclined, all of us have a proclivity to be threatened by circumstances around us. Paul says, don't allow that tendency to manifest and take over your life. When you see things that are naturally troubling and concerning, don't let them trouble and concern you. What should you do? Pray. That is an opportunity to pray. Every threat to your comfort, every threat to your well-being, every intimidation, every circumstance and every situation that puzzles you, that challenges you, is an opportunity to pray. Because in prayer, we are not just committing things to God, we are also opening our hearts so God can commit things to us. Prayer is a two-way street. Prayer is where we get direction. Prayer is where we get light. There might be some things you are praying about and you are saying, Lord, do this. Lord, do this. And while you are praying, the Holy Spirit can put something in your heart and say, you do this. You go and do this. Prayer is a two-way street. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Paul didn't stop talking about prayer in Philippians. In Colossians chapter 4, I want you to look at a few verses here. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul was a man of prayer. He knew the value of prayer. He knew the value of prayer. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Amplified Bible says, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. I like that. Be earnest, unwearied, and steadfast in your prayer life. So that means you are supposed to have a prayer life. So you cannot be earnest, you can't be steadfast, you can't be unwearied when you don't even have a prayer life. So he said you have to have a prayer life. Amen? You have to have a prayer life. You have to have a prayer routine, a prayer schedule. Amen. Not only once, every morning, every day, if that's when you pray first, when you wake up, but at different times in your life, have a prayer life. Having a prayer life means you have an ongoing relationship with prayer. You have an ongoing experience with prayer. It means you pray with opportunities that God gives you. You pray with every opportunity that you get. Be earnest, be unwearied, be steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. So you are earnest. You engage in preemptive prayer, earnest prayer, constant prayer, intense prayer, ongoing, daily, weekly, monthly. And sometimes as you pray, the Lord can pull you out and say, son, daughter, take a few hours and wait on me this week. Take a few hours and wait on me this week. Because I need you to give a little bit more time, not just to praying, but just to even being around me. So then we get into what is called waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28, they that wait on the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. Hallelujah. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 31. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. From verse 28, it says, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint. He's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How does the Lord give us strength for our weaknesses? How does the Lord increase our strength? How does he enable us to not fall? How does he enable us to be strong? How does he increase our understanding over the situations that we're going through? How does he give power to the faint? It is through prayer. It is in the place of prayer. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Then he said in verse 3, at the same time, pray for us also. You keep hearing this theme from Paul. He talks about prayer. Then he said, pray for us also. He said, with her also, praying also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I've had many people say, ah, Pastor, I don't know. I wish I knew how to pray for ministers. You are seeing some of the specific things that Paul is saying, pray for me about. These are some of the ways to pray for ministers. Pray for a door of utterance. Pray for doors of utterance. Amen. That the Lord will help us speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you go down in this same Colossians chapter 4, you go down to verse 12, and Paul describes somebody who took time to pray for other Christians. In verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, he salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Epaphras, one of your servants. Notice he didn't say one of your apostles, one of your anointed preachers, one of your gifted vessels. No, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you always. Somebody say always. Always. Laboring, say laboring. Fervently, say fervently. For you, not for himself. For you. In prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Always laboring. Epaphras, always laboring. It gives me, just reading that scripture, suggests to me, praying is not playing. Reading this scripture suggests to me, praying is not playing. Because look at the words he used to describe what Epaphras does. Always laboring. When last did you describe prayer as laboring? Laboring fervently. Laboring fervently for you, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Laboring fervently, always laboring fervently.
He's one of you, he's a servant of Christ, but I've seen him. He's always laboring. Paul saw this man always laboring for the saints. Praying for the saints. He said in verse 13, for I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. I bear him record. He has a great zeal. So how does he express his zeal? In prayer. Fervent. Laboring. Fervent praying. Laboring. It suggests to me praying is engaging everything within you. It's laboring. It's working hard. When last did you hear people talking about prayer in those terms? He's working hard praying. People don't think praying is working hard. But when you understand, a prayer is the open door to the supernatural. And when you understand, not all prayer has efficacy. You understand that not all prayer, a lot of prayer is just wasted motion. Just a lot of wasted motion. When you understand that, you say, I don't want to have just wasted motion. I want prayers that produce results. Yes. I want prayers that produce results. Yes. So always laboring fervently. Always laboring. It doesn't mean he is a weird person. It doesn't mean he acts strange. But it means he fully engages the ministry of prayer. You heard that last week. America sings. America talks. America preaches. America eats. America plays. America laughs. But America does not pray. It doesn't mean that we don't pray. Like we don't pray as in Lord, we pray. No. But it means we are not laboring in praying. We are not devoting, committing to prayer. And that's why at the beginning I said, you know, we have to learn this. This is something we have to learn. It doesn't come naturally. It is not sweet. That's why I use the example of children, a child who wants to watch TV all day. It's not fun. Becoming a prayerful person is not an attractive thing, experience. There are other things that call for our desires. But when you understand that becoming a prayerful person will make you a successful person, and you begin to give prayer its proper place, I'm telling you, you become a moving force that cannot be stopped. You cannot be stopped. Because prayer helps you engage with God supernaturally. It helps you engage with the Lord supernaturally. Laboring fervently. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He didn't stop in Colossians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17, pray without ceasing, he told them. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly, says in the Amplified. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be, be thankful. Give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Let prayer become a habit. Pray without ceasing. Some can hear, pray without, how can you pray without? Does that mean you are praying all the time? No human being prays all the time. You can't pray all the time. But it means pray with every opportunity you get. That's what it means. Pray with every opportunity you get. Pray without ceasing means pray with every opportunity you get.
You are getting ready to go to work. Pray as you are getting ready to go to work or to go to school. Pray. Yeah. As you are driving to work, pray. Yeah. You get to work, you are doing your work, you're, you know, at your desk or whatever. You know, you have like a 10-minute free time and you've done other things that, you know, you want to take 2 minutes out of that 10 minutes. Pray. Pray. Amen. You are having lunch. Thank God for your lunch. You enjoy your lunch. You have fun. But the Holy Spirit may bring something to your heart. Pray then. Pray with every opportunity you get. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. To train yourself, I called it last week, preemptive praying. But you see, preemptive praying is the same thing as earnest praying. It means to pray continuously. To pray continuously. To pray habitually. That's earnest praying. That's preemptive praying. To pray habitually. To pray habitually. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. In Luke chapter 22. To pray habitually. To pray habitually. To make prayer your habit. Hallelujah. Amen. To make prayer your habit. Someone say, I'm a habitual prayer. Say it again. Say, I'm a habitual prayer. Amen. 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 So I'm not a once in a while prayer. I'm not a scattershot prayer. I'm a habitual prayer. I'm a habitual prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. He came out and he went as he want. This is talking about Jesus. He came out and he went as he want to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now, when you read that as he want in the King James, you know, it's, what's that? We'll read a more literal translation, verse 39. And he came out, talking about Jesus. He came out and went as was his habit. He came out and he went as was his habit to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. He came out as was his habit. He came out and he went as was his habit. I'm a habitual prayer. As was his habit. As was his habit. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. That is, pray so you don't stumble and fall. Don't wait until you stumble and fall before you pray. Pray, pray habitually, preemptively, earnest. Pray so that you don't stumble and fall. Meaning, prayer can stop you from stumbling and falling. Preemptively praying can stop you from stumbling and falling. Can stop you from being overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Can stop you from being taken over by the situations of life, the difficulties of life. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Notice in this scripture, he was not in trouble. He was not, this is what he did habitually. But on this particular day, when he went to pray, trouble was around the corner. He did this habitually, preemptively. This is called continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. He did this continuously. But on this particular occasion, trouble was around the corner. He kneeled down and prayed and said, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
And as he prayed, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Strengthening him. What is the open door to the supernatural? It's prayer. Strengthening him. Because there was trouble around the corner, the angel came to strengthen him, to help him through that adversity he was about to go through. The adversity would not change. This situation would not be changed. But the strengthening that the angel gave him enabled him to get through it without collapsing. How about if he had waited until after the problem showed up before praying? He would have missed out on that strength. He would not have had that strength. But he prayed habitually. Trouble or no trouble, problem or no problem, he prayed. The angel showed up to strengthen him. And being in agony, in verse 44, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, so you don't fall and stumble. Let's close out. Let's close out here. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Let's close out here. Acts chapter 13. Let's read from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice, there were good times. They had no problems. God bless you. But the Holy Spirit pulled them out and said, minister, wait on the Lord a little bit. Wait on the Lord a little bit. And as they waited on the Lord and they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to do. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, they departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's read the conclusive part to this. Go to Acts chapter 16 now. This is our last scripture for today. Remember, they prayed at the beginning, and the Holy Spirit said, separate to me. They separated them, and Paul was carrying on with the ministry post Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 16, when he and his new companion, Silas, arrived in a city called Philippi, in verse 13 of Acts chapter 16, on the Sabbath, they went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Now, you see that word, that same word? We saw this word when he described it in Jesus' praying in Luke chapter 22. You remember he said where he was wont to do. That's he said, as was his habit. Where prayer was wont to be made. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the city's gate to the bank of the river where we supposed there was an accustomed place of prayer. There was an accustomed place of prayer. So these people engaged in habitual praying. A place where prayer was wont to be made. Where they were accustomed to praying. Go down to verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Notice, they were on their way to habitual prayer. They prayed habitually. But on this particular day, as they were headed to their place of prayer, trouble showed up. On this particular day, as they were headed to their place of prayer, trouble showed up. And you know this story, so I don't take your time and take you beyond my time here. Let's jump all the way and just read the latter part of this particular story from verse 22. This is Paul now. Remember, this is Paul. The foundation of everything he did was in prayer. Prayer. Verse 22 of Acts 16. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Believers can have trouble. Any doctrine that tells us believers will not have trouble is a doctrine from the pit of hell. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 33, as long as you are in this world, there will be tribulation. There will be trouble. The fact that believers have trouble does not mean God has left them. We are simply walking through the process of life. That's all it is. There is no question that believers will have trouble. The question is, will they come out? That is always the question. Will they come out when they have trouble? The question is never, will believers have trouble? Believers will have trouble. Wherever you are listening to me from today, there'll be trouble. There'll be problems, opposition, challenges, tribulation, attacks, assaults of the enemy. There'll be trouble. The question is not whether there'll be trouble. The question is, will we come out? I've read to you, Jesus had trouble. But before Jesus' trouble showed up, he was a habitual prayer. And one of those times when trouble was around the corner, where Jesus went to pray as usual, the angel came to strengthen him, preparing him for that trouble. He didn't stop the trouble, but he prepared him. He strengthened him so he could come through the trouble. How many of us believers have prayed, God, don't let this trouble happen. Don't let this problem come. Don't let, you know, many times, have you noticed? Many times, the prayer is not answered. Yes. We've learned a lot about praying in the will of God. Sometimes when people are ignorant of how to pray in the will of God, they pray those kind of prayers. God, don't let this trouble come. God, don't let this trouble happen. Well, the Lord may have permitted the trouble. The Lord may have permitted that trouble. For whatever reason, he knows, is up to him. Amen. It's not up to us. Amen. Certainly, Jesus' trouble was not from hell. Yeah, it was from hell. Satan orchestrated it. But the Lord permitted the trouble. Amen. Didn't he? Yes. But before that trouble, Jesus went to pray, and the angel came to strengthen him so that when the trouble came, Jesus could come through it. Amen. And here, Paul is about to have trouble. He didn't have trouble because he was at the wrong place at the right time. Sometimes you can be in the will of God and you can have trouble. Amen. That's right. Sometimes you can be doing everything the Lord has asked you. There are so many believers who say, but you know, I was serving the Lord and I was giving my life and I was giving everything and I was doing what they said and then I served, I did, I'm an usher, I give, I did, I tithe, I love my brothers and myself. But why would the Lord let this happen to me? The question isn't, will there be trouble? You can have trouble. But if there is an assurance that we will come out of trouble, then we should never be afraid of trouble. If there is an assurance that no matter the trouble, no matter the problems, the Lord will bring us out, then that means we should never be scared of it. We should never be intimidated by it. Where's that scripture that says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of the Lord delivers them out of them all. He preserves his bones. Not a one of them is broken. What's that scripture? I think it's Psalm 34. I'm not sure it's verse 17 or something. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. Verse 19, excuse me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not a one of them is broken. Not a one of them. Yeah, there'll be trouble. The question is not if there will be trouble. As I close, the question is, will we come through it? When Paul had trouble in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said we despaired even of life. We despair, even we almost thought our lives would be taken away. He said, but we learned to trust in God who delivered us, who will deliver us, who continually delivers us, he said. The question is not, will there be trouble? The question is, will we come through it? And the way to guarantee that we come through it, earnest prayer. Long before trouble shows up, just be a habitual prayer. Be a habitual prayer. There will be times in your place of prayer, the Lord will send you supernatural, what's that thing called when, like, there's warfare going on and they send you, Reinforcement. Thank you. Reinforcement. The Lord will send you supernatural reinforcement. And many times we don't even know why is he sending this reinforcement. He can see what's around the corner even though we can't. He can see something's coming. Something's coming. This is why we should be habitual prayer. We shouldn't wait for problems to happen before then we become earnest praying. Earnest praying. No. We should be habitual praying. Like Jesus, like Paul. And so when you are a habitual prayer and problems show up, then you pray. But the prayer you pray now is sitting on a good foundation because you were a habitual prayer before the problem showed up. And so the prayer you pray now will move heaven on your behalf. Because these are not emergency prayers. You were praying long before the problem showed up. You were a habitual prayer long before the attack came. So when the attack came, you just mounted up with wings as eagles. You just stepped up your prayer a little bit. They locked them up. They beat them, it says in verse 22. They put many stripes on them, verse 23. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them. Who, having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison. He made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they went to what they did all the time. They did this all the time. This is what they did all the time. Prayer was not strange for them. They weren't praying for the first time. Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Suddenly. What brings suddenlies in life? Earnest praying. It's earnest praying. What brings suddenlies when we are facing difficulties in life is earnest praying. Notice, most of the time when we are prone to emergency prayers, we don't get suddenlies. When we are prone to emergency prayers, but we are not committed to earnest praying, continuously praying, steadfastly praying, we don't get suddenlies. Many times when we are not committed to praying habitually, deliverance doesn't come. like God wants to send it? What prepares the ground? What prepares the ground is what we did long before the trouble showed up. Earnest praying. Praying all the time, ceaselessly, every time the opportunity shows up. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure you all connect with this. The Holy Spirit is telling us the same thing. Praying, praying, praying. Leaning on the Lord. Leaning on the Lord in praying, in praying. Taking short times of prayer when you can, but then also sometimes devoting more time to waiting on the Lord. Just waiting on the Lord. So that you can receive strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So you can have access to the supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want to take a minute and pray for someone who might be online today or might be hearing this message at some point and who does not have a sound relationship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not born again, or maybe you're backsliding, or maybe you just feel there's something missing in your relationship with God. Just like to pray with you, just as we close out here. I'm going to ask you wherever you are, and you won't be the only one praying this prayer. All of us will be praying it with you wherever you are. I'm going to ask you from your heart, pray this from your heart. Don't just pray from your head, pray it from your heart. Come before the Lord knowing with the confidence that his ears are open to hear you and he's looking for a way to help you. And just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that I can't save myself. I'm helpless without you. I'm a sinner. But Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised up for my justification. Lord, today, I renounce my sin. I renounce Satan. I come before you. I repent of every sin. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that you give me a new heart, a new spirit, in the name of Jesus. I open up the door of my heart. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come in. Make me a child of God. Renew the fire of the Holy Spirit within me. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because from this moment, I know I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. I thank you, Lord, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I give you all the glory. I commit myself to Jesus today. Completely, completely. I give him my heart, everything about my life. Reign in me. Be my Lord and my Master. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, God, for all of your people today. Thank you, God, for giving us the unction of the Holy Spirit to be in your presence and to hear your word. Thank you, Father God, for showing us the power, supernatural ability of God that is made available to us through prayer. Lord, let these words through this week continually just bubble up in our hearts, in our spirit, in our minds. Remind us, oh God, help us with every opportunity we get to pray. And when we pray, to expect something to happen. When we pray, to expect the Lord is hearing us. We're not just praying religiously. We're not just praying dogmatically. We're not just praying mechanically. Every time we pray, God, help us have that confidence that the Lord is hearing us and the Lord is answering our prayer and fulfill every word that you've spoken concerning us. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for our nation, the United States of America. We call this nation blessed of the Lord. Thank you for this season. that you have brought us into. The Bible says the glory of the latter house will far surpass the former. So God, we pray even as we move forward into this next season, God, that there will be a full manifestation of your will, your plans in this nation, in the name of Jesus. We pray for our leaders, oh God. We pray for our outgoing president, President Donald Trump, and we pray for his family, that you will keep them and bless them. Father God, we pray, God, that you grant him direction for the next season of his life. We pray, Father God, for our president-elect, Joe Biden, and his wife and their families. We pray, God, that you keep them, that you protect them and preserve their lives. Grant him direction. Grant him wisdom. Give him strength in his physical body, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Surround him with good people who will help him make good decisions. Lord, help him walk in the fear of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him be a worthy and an able leader to this great nation. Father, we thank you for the church in this nation. We thank you for the body of Christ. Oh God, we pray that you bind our hearts together. We pray, God, that you cause your light to shine upon our path. Help us, God, hear your word clearly. Help us know your will and commit to your will. In the name of Jesus, remove every confusion. Remove, oh God, every confusion. Lord, the Bible says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Lord, we lift up before you our leaders, our ministers, our apostolic vessels, prophetic vessels, pastoral teachers, Lord, missionaries, everyone, God, that stands in a place of authority in the body of Christ in the United States. God, you quicken them today, strengthen their hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Open unto them doors of utterance. Help them speak your word boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help them declare the mystery of the gospel of Jesus boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless them and their families. Provide for their needs. Supply all that they require. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for the body of Christ. We use everyone connected to Abundant Life, Lord, International Church Commission, as a point of contact. Every family, every minister, every pastor, every worker, every partner, everyone, God, that is connected with us in this ministry, wherever they are, all over the world, we speak the blessing of heaven upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, that you will complete what you have started in their lives. We pray, God, that you will help them to stand complete in the will of God. We pray, God, that you cause your light to shine upon them. Some of them might be going through difficulties. We remember them today, Father. We pray, God, that you pull them out, Lord, of the trap of the enemy. Deliver them from the mouth of the lion in the name of Jesus. We speak breakthrough. We speak miracles. Open heavens in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We thank you because you are healing the afflicted. We thank you, God, because you are comforting, Lord, the depressed and the sorrowful in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, you are providing for the needy. Even in this holiday season, Lord, so many that are going without the supplies that they usually have. We remember them, oh God, especially those in the body of Christ. We pray, God, that you supply their need. We pray, God, that you provide for them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We look up to you, Father. You are a great provider. We look up to you, Lord. You supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we look up to you. The Bible says, Father God, that in your light we shall see light. It says, God, that they look up to you, God, and they were enlightened and their faces were not ashamed. Father God, remove shame far away from your people in this season, oh God, as we celebrate the victory of the Lord Jesus, as we celebrate, Lord, what Jesus died to achieve for us. Lord, let the glory of God, let it be made manifest over the lives of your people in the name of the Lord Jesus. We look up to you, Father, to perfect everything that you've started in our lives. We look up to you, Father, that you will do to the uttermost the work that you have begun. We trust you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You are a faithful God. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's just praise the Lord just one more time. Just bless his holy name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.